This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
For tens of thousands of years, humans have used masks as religious totems, war regalia and war trophies, folk celebrations, sports, sex play, shaming punishments, and of course, armed robbery. And here we are again. The image is so familiar. Asian travelers and pedestrians masked routinely to ward off contagious disease. In the Far East, the practice is commonplace. And amid coronapocalypse, also now here. Gideon Lasco is a physician and medical anthropologist at the University of Philippines, Diliman. He wrote recently in sapiens.org about the symbolism of face masks. Gideon, welcome to the show.
Thank you for inviting me.
The image is now familiar in subways, on streets, in airports. Do they even do any good?
Face masks actually have a very limited value for the general public. And it's only recommended for people who are healthcare practitioners or people who are actually sick.
What you've done in your piece is look at the many layers of history and culture that have informed public behavior in the midst of the coronavirus epidemic. And a lot of it has to do with social mores.
Yes. So in a country where people value conformity and compliance to rules, then wearing a mask can signify obedience to public authority. It can signify being a hygienic citizen.
Just the social compact of protecting others from you as well as protect you from others.
It's communicating to people that you're a responsible citizen. At the same time, we also see how masks at the personal level somehow tells you that you're doing something instead of just doing nothing in the face of this outbreak. One historian who wrote about the history of face masks in Japan used the notion of risk ritual to make sense of the appeal of masks among the Japanese. So just like the many rituals we do before an exam, a ritual before a big event, wearing a mask can be interpreted as a form of risk ritual to give us a sense of control in the face of this coronavirus.
But they significantly hide the identity of the mask wearer. And you believe that that is part of the mentality?
Yes. If we look at how masks have become popular in Japan, part of the appeal of masks in everyday life, not just during epidemics, but in regular days, for many people, it's a way of hiding themselves, avoiding being bothered by other people. So in that sense, the masks serve as a very physical barrier and also a social barrier. And what it does now in this time of coronavirus, it really marks people as either at risk or concerned about the illness.
Well, that's a paradox. It both marks them, but also offers them a level of anonymity or at least personal space that they otherwise might not get.
That's a very good point, Bob. In fact, some of the countries which are debating whether to recommend face masks, even if they know that it's not effective at all, but to recommend that only the sick wear it is to invite those people to be marked as such and therefore invite stigma, invite avoidance from other people. That's why this paradox is also messing up the attitudes, not just of individual people, but also of governments and how to deal with face masks.
There's another bit of collateral damage, and that is that the image of the Asian person wearing a mask has become so iconic that it has led to sometimes even violence because the wearer is perceived as an other and a threatening one as well. Is that a phenomenon only in the West?
It is a phenomenon everywhere, but the coronavirus is spreading all over the world. People are wearing masks all over the world, not just Asia. But at the same time, yes, it's not just a marker of a disease, but it is also, like you said, a marker of race. For example, I interviewed a man from China who traveled to Europe, and he told me that he doesn't need a mask. He doesn't want to wear a mask. But he felt that being an Asian guy, people might feel that he's a risk, so he better wear a mask just to prevent any kind of untoward interaction with other people. So mask wearing is not just for individual health reasons, but there's also a performativity involved in the wearing of masks that you have to display a compliance to unwritten rules of how you're supposed to behave.
The signaling actually isn't confined to individuals. Governments seem to use the same psychology of the placebo effect of mask wearing to at least create the illusion that they've got the situation under control. You wrote about some mayors in Philippines who distributed masks like some cities distribute smoke detectors.
It's definitely one of the main themes that I'm seeing in how masks are used now. Companies give it to their employees, governments. For example, the government of Singapore was highly admired because the government were distributing masks to every Singaporean. And that was a very powerful statement.
That's more than 1 million households, right?
Yes.
And how many cases of the disease had been confirmed at the time?
There were some cases. People were beginning to panic all over the region, and the responses of different leaders were being compared. And the Singaporean prime minister was the one who won the most acclaim, in part because of this decision. Like, look, wow, in other countries, people are running out of masks. But in Singapore, that's the government who actually distributing all of these masks. Even though in that same statement, they said that, well, you don't really need it, but they still distributed 5 masks per household or something like that. They saw the political efficacy of distributing this mask as a way of reassuring their population.
As you walk the streets of Manila, are you awash in masks?
It comes and goes. So when the news first broke that there's a first case in the Philippines, people were wearing masks. But then after a few days, nothing happened. So people stopped wearing them. But now there are more cases and more people are wearing masks again. I would say roughly 20% of the people are wearing masks. Taxi drivers, students, maybe around 1 in 4. I can see them wearing masks when walking on the streets.
Well, you're a doc and also a scholar on this very subject. Do you wear one?
I've never worn a mask for this purpose. I was just in Massachusetts last month to visit my sister, and I contemplated briefly, should I at least bring a mask with me? In the airports, maybe they'd expect me to wear a mask. But in the end, I didn't.
So this same behavior of signaling and expectation that you're observing in others, the same thoughts ran through your mind.
Absolutely. Even though I'm a scholar and a doctor, I am not immune to these thought processes that take place.
Gideon, thank you very much.
Well, thank you, Bob. It's a pleasure talking to you.
Dr. Gideon Lasco is a physician and medical anthropologist at the University of the Philippines, Diliman.
Coming up, the compelling consolation of an old movie, or one not so old nor so consoling.
This is On the Media.
This is Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, the Science Friday team has been reporting high-quality science and technology news, making science fun for curious people by covering everything from the outer reaches of space to the rapidly changing world of AI to the tiniest microbes in our bodies. Audiences trust our show because they know we're driven by a mission to inform and serve listeners first and foremost with important news they won't get anywhere else. And our sponsors benefit from that halo effect. For more information on becoming a sponsor, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.